Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Before I begin, this episode may be triggering to some. Listener discretion is advised. The forest floor is covered in beautiful moss and green leaves over root systems, trees dense and packed together with a canopy at the top that can keep rainfall out. But a canopy tight enough for water will also keep out sunshine, and only plants that don't need much sun survive here. A place like this seems to invite the darkness in, and those who feel the darkness come and find it. And some stay and become a permanent part of the eerie and dark forest, haunting it forever, adding to the intrigue of the Sea of Trees. Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. The forest's official name is Aokigahara Forest, but it is also called the Sea of Trees and the Suicide Forest. It's located at the base of Mount Fuji in Japan and has quite the history behind it. The forest floor itself is made up from lava rock from an eruption of Mount Fuji in 864. The trees are mostly cypress and hemlock and are very dense, creating an environment of almost perfect, creepy silence. Rain nor sunlight really come through the trees. It's dark, it's silent, it's isolated, and it's incredibly ominous. Because of this, unfortunately, many people have chosen this as their final resting place.
I'm proud of you. You actually said that right.
Listen, I had to look up several videos. It was not the easiest thing to figure out, but it's actually not that difficult to pronounce. It just looks difficult to pronounce.
Yeah. Japanese names can be really tough. I mean, not as much as mine were the last time, which I guess technically it'll be the next time for people who are listening to this since we haven't released that episode yet.
Yeah, Matt had a heck of a time with that episode. It was a good time, which I don't blame you because, frankly, I looked at his phone, which is what we read off of, and I would have also struggled. That episode was like the equivalent of the Dyatlov Pass for me, and that was a nightmare.
It'll be a few weeks before you guys listen to that episode. Once you hear it, you'll probably understand.
You'll know.
Greek names are the worst.
You'll know.
When you enter the suicide forest, there are not only signs that will tell you your life is valuable, but also signs with a suicide hotline number. Cameras watch to track how many people go into the forest and how many come back out. Others, of course, visit the forest for things like hiking. There are a couple of trails, and even on rainy days, you'll stay dry. But the trails are built to keep you far from the parts of the forest that most people take their lives in. Because of how many souls lay in the sea of trees, the Japanese government stopped releasing the annual death count in 2010, believing that it may just lead to more people taking their lives in the forest. They do attempt to clear the bodies, but the trees are incredibly dense, and cell phone reception is often bad due to the makeup of the rock bed. So it's impossible to count every soul.
Surprise, a government trying to cover it up.
To be fair, a lot of people go to this place. I read that one year there were 254 attempts, and there were, like, one year 105 bodies that they found, and they didn't want to glorify it. They didn't want more people reading about it and more people coming, and I can understand that.
The one thing I will say, especially in Japanese culture, there seems to be a higher than ordinary suicide rate. A lot of it has to do with the culture and how things are. I definitely think that the forest is weird. A lot of people go in there. But the one thing I question, is it really any different than any other part? Besides the fact that it's in the middle of nowhere, it's very dense and hard to get people out there. Do people go out there because of that? Or do they go out there because of the reputation? Or do they go out there and die some other way, and then it's made to look like they killed themselves?
See, I wondered the same thing, and that's one of the things that I wanted to look into, but it's hard to say because it's been called the suicide forest for a long time. And the thing is, apparently, there's not really a good way to say this, but the most popular method is by hanging.
It makes sense, honestly.
It does. It's hard to get yourself out of. So a lot of people, I think, go so that maybe they can't talk themselves out of it. It's isolated. You're going to be completely alone. Chances are, even if you get in there, you're going to get lost. Even the people who go and collect the bodies have to leave trails of ribbons behind them to be able to get in and out of it. In the parts that aren't actual walking trails and hiking trails, because they're so dense and that it's really difficult to find your way in and out.
Yeah. My whole question is, first off, is the forest someplace that's maybe drawing people who are depressed or going through stuff? Or is it just a simple coincidence where people are going there because it's out of the way, because they know it has this reputation? And it's hard to say, and I've been interested in this a while. I was actually impressed that you did this, because when it comes to anything Japanese, especially when it's kind of taboo almost or not talked about, it's really hard to find information about.
It is not the easiest thing to find information about.
And my guess would be is most of the information you got was from non-Japanese sources. People who visited.
That is correct. Yeah.
And that's one thing, like, goes with the culture of just keeping everything within and within the family or within and not talking about it, and which obviously, as we could tell, not necessarily the best policy. Which, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, especially Japan is the one place that I do want to visit.
Oh, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I have no interest in committing suicide, but this place, it just looks so pretty.
Yeah,
and there are ice caves. It looks stunning.
My question, Japan is pretty advanced as far as they got a lot of cool stuff there.
Oh my God, their vending machines are so cool.
One of these days, we're going to do a podcast episode in Japan just so we can go there and see the vending machines.
They have literally the coolest vending machines.
But then, so you got all this cool technology and they've got really cool stuff over there. But then they've almost got this mentality of, especially mental health. Mental health is not one thing that you want to talk about in Japan. There's definitely very much a stigma on it. Hard to believe, but even more than in the United States is now. I know we're a little bit better off than we were 10 years ago. But compared to that, Japan is probably 50, 60 years behind where we were 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah. They very much have this stigma that you just need to go to work. You need to walk it off, if you will. And I think that's where a lot of it comes into play. And that's really sad.
Yeah, it really is. And I am not trying to be offensive at all on this because it is a very touchy subject. Like I said, I love Japan. Japan's definitely the one country that I really want to visit. It is definitely, it's 2024. It's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And I get culture differences. I'm not going to sit here and judge them or anything like that. But it's something that's got to change. Mental health is real, whether people want to admit it or not. Everybody goes through issues. It's not something that only a few people go through. Everybody goes through it. It's just some people try to ignore it and act like it's not there. And based on my point, it brings up the question, is the suicide forest a product of the culture over there where it's forbidden basically to talk about this stuff and they go out into the forest away from civilization? Or is it, like I said, is there some kind of force there that's causing this?
I think it's a combination of both. Like the rock is lava rock underneath and that absorbs a lot of the sound. Add to that the fact that there's not a lot of natural wildlife. And so it's just creepily quiet.
Yeah.
And that in itself, if you've ever been into a place that's just abnormally quiet, it's creepy and it can get to your head. So even if you go to a place like that and you're not in the best mental health state already, I think that can get to your head a little bit.
Yeah, 100%. It's a question that I think at the very least definitely requires some scrutiny and reflection, because this is not, let's say for instance, it's 100% natural. It's just people trying to be out of the way of civilization. That's something that can be addressed and can be fixed. It doesn't have to continue. Now, if it's something not necessarily supernatural.
Paranormal, maybe.
Paranormal, yeah. If it's something like that, then obviously that's something that we need to study too. I'm torn because I think a lot of it has to do with the culture, and it's sad. But I'm not going to discount anything else because it could be a number of things. We just don't know. It could be Jordan destroying technology over there. I don't know.
Oh, man. Just imagine the havoc I would wreak in Japan.
I am pretty sure we would get banned from Japan.
Just imagine what would happen if I touched one of their vending machines. You would have to order everything for me.
I wouldn't be opposed to that because I would
never be able to do that because I would break all of it.
We're just gonna have a podcast or a YouTube video where we just go over to Japan just to see the vending machines.
But they're so cool though. All I want is a really cool vending machine.
I know, we don't have any cool vending machines here.
It's disappointing.
And if you have no idea what we were talking about, just look on YouTube and search for Japanese vending machines.
They're literally the coolest.
Like, pretty much anything you could think of, you can get in a vending machine over there.
I'm pretty sure literally any food.
Any food, hot food, cold food, sushi, pretty much. And then they got vending machines for any product you can buy in a store, they've got a vending machine for. They've got a whole, like, Apple store one where you can buy Apple products from it. And
so freaking cool. Imagine the havoc I could wreak.
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about that.
I know.
That'd be horrible.
Touch. And coming, all of Japan just stops working.
Coming soon, Japan. We're going to see if you're Jordan-proof or not. By the time we get to that point, we're probably going to get stopped by customs in Japan. And they're going to be like,
she got me.
Yeah, she can't. We've seen you guys' YouTube and podcast. She's not allowed in here. And I'll be like,
you know what,
fair.
Though? I feel like they probably would be too proud of their own stuff. They'd be like, no, our stuff will work. It will be fine.
That would be the worst mistake they ever make.
Sometimes we believe the souls stay around. It's said that yurei haunt the forest, vengeful, luring people to take their lives as they did. But it could be deeper than that. A practice called ubaste. Basically, the practice of sacrificing an elder or sick member of the family by luring them to the forest in times of desperation and starvation, and the souls left behind could be them. But most Japanese agree that this practice was actually just a folktale and never actually done.
I just want everybody to know, right before she recorded that, she was doing the same thing I was doing on my episode, which, again, you guys haven't listened to yet.
We had to look up how to pronounce things because I don't know how to pronounce these words, and I want to pronounce them correctly.
Honestly, that is a genre of YouTube that I never knew existed until we started doing. There is literally thousands and thousands of videos of how to pronounce random words.
And I am so thankful for those people. So thankful to those of you who take your time and put those videos out there.
Not gonna lie, when I was recording my episode, I literally subscribed to that channel just because they helped
me
out.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you, kind person who puts out how to pronounce these.
I get that would be, obviously there's a ton of words, so you have a ton of video ideas, but we don't say words good enough to do.
No, we don't. You are correct.
So this time I won't forget to talk about the actual subject that we just talked about, or that you just talked about.
Yeah, good job. You're doing great over there.
It's one of those days.
Want to talk about Yure?
Which one did you talk about first? Ubaste or?
Yure, and then Ubaste.
So before we started recording this segment, Jordan was trying to figure out the word. And I'm like, what are you trying to figure out? So she told me, I'm like, oh, that's Yuri. I know that one. And
he was very proud of himself.
Yeah, until she was very proud of me too, until she learned that I learned it from Phasmophobia. Anybody else play Phasmophobia and instantly know what she's talking about?
You're ridiculous.
That's all right. I know it's some kind of spirit. I know that it's especially a spirit in Japanese culture.
Yeah, it's basically a vengeful spirit. Yeah.
I know it's a big part of Phasmophobia. And in fact, that's one of the ghosts that's probably killed me the most on Phasmophobia. I hate those fuckers. I mean, I like ghosts. They actually like scare me a little bit. Mostly because they are vengeful.
The thing about it that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, if they're vengeful, why would they be going and, like, why? Why would they be going and seeking more people? If they're people who took their own lives, why would they be going and seeking more?
Yeah, what doesn't make sense to me, for them to be vengeful and them to be causing this, the people who are dying would have to be connected to them in some way, you would think.
Exactly. And granted, there's not a lot of information about this place that I could find aside from just generalized information. And it was difficult to find, but that's about it. And then there's the practice of, back in the olden times, basically sacrificing an older member of your family. But even then, pretty much everyone has decided that was a folktale. So I'm still trying to figure out, don't get me wrong, I think it's probably super haunted. It wouldn't make sense to me that place isn't super haunted, because probably, yeah, probably it is. Just imagine the amount of souls. There's hundreds of people have committed suicide in that forest, and probably a bunch of people have just passed away and they're lost. But can't imagine it wouldn't be haunted at this point.
Yeah, it definitely would be a creepy place to be. I would like to go there, but if we ever did for the podcast, we would definitely never record there. I think that'd just be too disrespectful.
It is. It's disrespectful.
Y'all know how that happened. The YouTuber.
2017 Logan Paul video.
I wasn't going to mention his name, but yeah.
I'm shaming him. I will shame him.
That is something that we will definitely never do on this channel, and we'll never intentionally, at least. Now, if there's someone named Chester, then that's a different story. But yeah, we'll never intentionally do something that disrespectful. But I would like to go there some point. Not necessarily to record, just to maybe go there and then do an episode afterwards and talk about what we experienced and that stuff.
That would be really neat.
But yeah, we'll never go there and actually record in the forest or anything like that, just because I think that'd be disrespectful. Maybe one day we'll actually do a video where we go there. I've got a whole list of things that I want to do at some point.
We're broke right now, so the next place we go to is going to be real close.
So
next ghost hunt's going to be in my backyard.
On a related note, please subscribe our videos. Really helps us out here, because there is a lot of stuff that we want to do. Obviously, a lot of it's going to be way down the line, but we want to do more ghost hunting. Would like to maybe do some podcasts and YouTube videos where we actually interview people and do stuff like that.
Heck yeah.
We definitely want to start buying technology and having Jordan try to break it.
Heck yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of good plans that we want to do. And going to Japan is definitely on that list. Two-part. We'll go visit the forest, go visit some of the other landmarks in Japan.
and use one of their vending machines, or several of them, not just one.
Let's be honest, that's literally the only reason we want to go, is to play with the vending machines.
I want us a forest too, but yeah, one of the vending machines. I really do. That's...
Okay. Would you rather go see the forest or go see the vending machines? You can only pick one.
I can only pick one?
One. But if you choose the vending machines, you can go see 100 different vending machines.
I'm going to choose the forest because I'll break the vending machines. You know I will. I'll break it.
I 100% know, but I think that'd make a more interesting video, but...
Probably.
All right, you can go see the forest. I'll go see the vending machines. No, I do want to see the forest, but I also want to see the vending machines. Those things are so cool. And if you haven't done it yet, YouTube Japanese vending machines. You will not be disappointed.
You will not. This forest, this sea of trees, is haunting, beautiful, and draws you in. The silence and darkness beckon you, madden you, and yet so many people tempt fate. Even if you lay a trail going in, you may never come out. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.